You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
What's up, freaks? Sitting down with Brian Harrington. It's been a few years since you've been on this show. It's great to have you back.
Yes. Thank you, man. Thank you. It was, yeah, I think you saw a video of me yelling at a frustrated COVID rally, actually. And so way different times, my first time on the show.
Way different times. Way better times, I think, right now. I think momentum is strong right now.
100%. And I wanted to pivot to the optimism quickly, like, because I'm a way different person than I was back then. Like, I'm a way different person. My life is in a way different position than it was back when I first talked to you. Like, do multiple kids since then, multiple houses since then. I still own my houses since then. I'm calling you today from the second walk-in closet in my third house. Like, dude, Bitcoin is good. Like, life is good. It's awesome.
It really is. And I think that's why I'm excited to talk to you now, because I think militant is the correct word to describe you in terms of trying to shift people's mindsets around Bitcoin and how they're interacting with it from a personal finance perspective.
Yeah.
And I think with that in mind, like, what is the number one lesson or the list of lessons that have really become crystal clear to you since we last spoke in this regards of using Bitcoin as your financial cornerstone in your life?
I want to talk about tactics. I want to talk about strategy, but like, we have to talk about the mindset first. We have to talk about the mindset or none of that stuff will land. And not to get too cheesy about it, but we have to, because this is what really led me to trying to find new tactics and seeing Bitcoin differently, was just really trying to understand, you know, like, why do Bitcoiners, why do we go through these pendulum swings of like wanting to tell everyone about Bitcoin and then like, this sucks, no one's listening, like, screw them all. Like, why does that happen to us? And how are other influencers doing it different, I guess? And that's what, like, when you go out on the internet and you talk to someone who's like a real estate maximalist, dude, they're gonna look you in the face. But real estate is the path to financial freedom, Marty. Thank you so much for having me on today. Here's the 10-point plan. Like, real estate is the path to financial freedom. And they're like, they'll just hit it like straight off the bat, like none, not ashamed, nothing from the top. And I just realized, like, dude, we aren't Bitcoin influencers. I don't really do that. You know, crypto influencers will do that for you. They'll be like, dude, like, here's the 10-step trading program. Like, here's how you get rich, like all this stuff. And I think it has to, like, you have to start with the mindset of like, dude, it's okay to want to be wealthy. And it's okay to be like, Bitcoin has fully changed my life. Bitcoin has fully changed my life. And I'm sitting here today with more optionality, more financial freedom than had I used fiat instead of Bitcoin. And so I think having some like optimism around it, but and really like believing that optimism is like a big part of it. The other mindset thing that I think gets deep, and this is hard, like, because Bitcoin is scarce, right? Like, that's the whole thing is like fix supply. So we realize the urgency and the necessity of like owning 0.21, owning one Bitcoin, owning 2.1 Bitcoin. That's a big deal. Like, those are big deals in a fixed, like, monetary, like, protocol that is expanding around the world, right? And so we get super focused on that. But that also can weirdly create a scarcity mindset inside of us to where, oh, if we think about accomplishing a different goal in a different niche of our life, that does like take resources from stacking, right? And I'm not even getting to spending Bitcoin yet. I'm just saying stacking, like fresh income, like fresh energy. We're so used to kind of having this like frantic energy around like, I don't have enough. You really have to analyze like that inside of you and almost like really wrestle with that to, I think that's why there's a lot of pushback sometimes to like the Bitcoin personal finance stuff I say, is because I am kind of challenging some underlying kind of things that have just been routinely said.
Yeah, I agree on both points. Because we had a call, 2 weeks ago? But that was the last thing you say. We need to be more sort of, I don't want to say bombastic, but be more sort of own, like Bitcoin is the path to financial freedom. And just like be explicit. Yeah. Like Bitstein taught us years ago, simple phrases, like Bitcoin is the path to financial freedom.
And look, that's right in the face of one of these simple phrases, like Bitstein and Richard, the whole sell your chairs, right? Sell your chairs is like this extreme frugality, simple sentence is still, when I go around like internally, externally, YouTube, wherever, and I talk about Bitcoin personal finance, one of these things, like one of these sayings that popped to mind is this like sell your chairs, this extreme frugality. And that's why, the other day I was just like, dude, I think we should have nicer chairs. Like, I think Bitcoiners should have nicer chairs than fiat investors. Like, it should be so obvious. They should know that we are Bitcoiners by our chairs. It should be so obvious.
I agree. That's why we have nice chairs here in the studio. Pre-1971 chairs. Spent a good amount of sats on these back in 2021 when I set up the studio.
100%. No, and I'm glad, like, the pre-1971 and the everything, like, fiat has gotten into the quality of everything. I was thinking about that this morning, like, before calling you, like, how, you know, we have, Bitcoiners have dove into other niches, whether it is the, like, fiat food, and, like, talking about the food supply, talking about these things, talking about the quality of things. It's there. Like, it's definitely there. And I've gone through my pendulum of like, oh, that's annoying, to where it's not annoying. Like, but I do think that is like directionally correct of realizing that like fiat has made the quality of things bad, and it's not bad to want to return quality to your life, but I think just bringing the optimism though more, like bringing more of the optimism and not so much like, oh, the world was so good before fiat, we have to return to like that way or whatever. I went through that. Like I had my whole like homesteading phase, like all this stuff. I went through my last house. I was building a homestead in the backyard. It's all the way on YouTube. Now I'm going to tackle a brand new thing where we're not doing any rainwater capture. We're just like, I'm classically backyard, like turfing and tiling and pool, like the entire thing. There's no permaculture, none of it. I'm doing the exact opposite. So anything can be fine. Any niche can be fine. But I don't think, like I kind of about the mindset. Like, I don't think it's bad to like be motivated by having nice things. And I don't think it's bad to just be very, a little bit more in your face than we have in traditional Bitcoin personal finance sense of like, no, like Bitcoin, if you want to afford nice things, I can afford nice things because I use Bitcoin instead of dollars.
Listen, freaks, I know you're tired of me talking about Fold. But I'm going to beat the drum. I'm going to beat the dead horse. If you're a Bitcoiner living in the United States and you're not using Fold, I'm just going to ask one question. What are you doing? You're leaving sats on the table. They've got gift cards. They've got their debit card. You can use your credit card. Just connect your credit card to the Fold app. Use the Fold app to pay off your credit card. And you're going to stack your credit card points and Bitcoin as well. They even teamed up with CrowdHealth to give their members Fold Plus membership at no cost. Don't leave sats on the table. Go sign up for Fold today. Go to tftc.io/fold. There's nothing to lose except sats that you could have stacked. Sup, freaks? This rip of TFTC was brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. They make the Cold Card Q, my favorite hardware wallet, the most secure hardware wallet on the market. As you can see, it's got the BlackBerry form factor, full keyboard. It's got two secure enclaves. You create your private public keys offline. The device never has to go online, never does go online. So you keep your Bitcoin secure. If you have your Bitcoin on exchanges and you're looking to get it off, secure it in the best way possible. Pick up a cold card queue. Go to coinkite.com, find the cold card queue, use the code TFTC for 5% off. If you're a power user of Bitcoin, like I am, if you're running a business on a Bitcoin standard, if you're just a Bitcoiner who wants to secure your Bitcoin, get the most secure hardware wallet on the market, go get the cold card queue. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's inarguable if you've been in it long enough. Like the studio funded by Bitcoin, my personal life funded by the company and Bitcoin over time. But I do agree with you. There is that sort of internal conflict that exists when you have like, I need to increase my stack by as much as possible, as frugally as possible, with the Bitcoin is supposed to make our lives incredibly way better because we're going to have increased purchasing power that allows us to buy nicer stuff. So I think it's important to recognize that you have that sort of internal conflict. And once you recognize that, plan to benefit from both. So increase your stack, but also increase the quality of your life while you're doing that.
And this is why one of these, again, simple repeated phrases that it might be time to kind of sunset or just, again, really analyze is this whole, the simple phrase of the like never selling. Simple phrase of never selling, I think it creates more confusion, creates more headwinds to that than it helps actually. And because, and I'll come at this even from a very, like you did a great job of highlighting how your Bitcoin is increasing your purchasing power. It's increasing your purchasing power. And that's why if you're measuring your net worth in Bitcoin, to continue your net worth in Bitcoin, like climbing, takes a lot of sacrifice. Like it takes a lot of blinders on sacrifice. And so, and that's the mode that a lot of people have been in for a lot of years. It takes a retraining to realize that, dude, having the Bitcoin balance stay flat while the purchasing power of it is increasing, you're almost like taking profits with your lifestyle or with your kind of, you're taking on bigger risks. Because I don't want to just talk about accumulating stuff either. Like I'm receiving more and more DMs the more I'm like trying to talk about this. It's like people want to buy businesses. Like people want to earn things that are like cash flowing or like income replacing. Like there is kind of a groundswell of that happening. So it's not just about like, again, trying to boil it down to simple sentences about shares. Like it is that thing of like how owning nicer things, but it also is this thing of like, what if instead of never selling, what if it was like the long-winded way is if you can keep your Bitcoin net worth flat while taking more and more shots on goal of owning a business or stepping up your salary or investing in your marriage, like doing like those things, your capacity as a person is actually growing to where you honestly could probably end up with more Bitcoin in the future than just your linear DCA path that you're on.
I completely agree. I think that's a great sort of explanation of how my mindset shifted over the last 5 years specifically, which is don't let the FOMO become all encompassing to the point where you get this state of paralysis where it's just like, oh my God, I need to get as much Bitcoin. And you're not thinking about how to improve yourself so that you can go be more productive to make more money that will enable you to buy more Bitcoin. I think this is something that is beginning to really take a hold of many people within Bitcoin is this mindset of, oh, if I just be more productive and bring more value to the economy and increase my cash flow, that's how I stack more Bitcoin. I think that is certainly what I'm focused on, whether it's here at TFTC, what we're doing at 1031. It's really the path to higher stacking for me personally is making this a better business, making 1031 the best business that it can be and increasing that cash flow.
Dude, and I'll take it. I don't think Bitcoin can go to $1 million until like Marty Bent becomes that person that is doing that. Like, I don't think Bitcoin can go to $1 million until I'm like 5 years different from who we just talked about, how we're way different than I was last time I called you. Like, I don't think it can do that until I'm a person. Not, and it's not about me. It's not about you. But like, I don't think it can do that until we as people are bigger containers, like with bigger opportunity than we are right now. And I'll give a reason for that, kind of like the reason for that. Cause another thing I want to push back on is how I think sometimes in our language around personal finance, sometimes we say like other assets or other investments must lose, or like other investments measured in Bitcoin are going to zero is like another like big concept. And so there's this thing of like, oh, like Bitcoin will be the only winner, or is the only winner. The people, like the people in power, and I'm saying power in a neutral way, not in like a government, not in like a, oh, stopping things from happening way, just like influential, like in the people that have built their influence through the wealth building of other assets are not going to lose. Like, I don't think they're going to lose. Like, I've experienced this in my own life where it's like, the meetup we ran in Orange County for years grew an influence. The number went up. We grew an influence. And I was never like physically patted on the head, but I was like metaphorically patted on the head by just like Newport Beach and Orange County people that are just like, good job, Ryan. Like, you have money now. Like, we have money too. And it's like, it's that. That's what I think about it. Like, we as people, like the other, like you have grown a ton and been able to network with like very big, real, large audience, like a different level of influence. And it's like, until Bitcoin can be credibly shared in those kind of influential environments, it as a thing is not going to grow large enough to do everything we think it's going to be. And so like that's something I think about a lot, that it's not just like, oh, this is nice. Like I've been able to like be in this thing for so long. Now I have optionality in my life. It's like, no, actually, like, I don't think the other half of the equation of like fix the money, fix the world can happen until like we as people are like more influential and bigger containers for influence than we are right now.
Yeah. And I think you've picked up on part of our strategy in recent years, which is, I love everybody in Bitcoin. I love you, Brian. I love anybody working on Bitcoin, whether it's at the protocol level, building businesses, thinking about it from a macro economic perspective. I love all of you. But I think 8 years into this show, I don't want to say those conversations get boring, but they get a little bit repetitive. And I think the intent, at least the one of the intents of the show in recent years, has been to extend that olive branch to these other sort of spheres of influence that exist outside of Bitcoin, and just have open conversations about what they're focused on. And when the opportunity presents itself, just sprinkle in a little Bitcoin. Like, hey, you think this way? I think Bitcoin could help attain a goal that you have that it may be an unlock for you that you don't recognize yet. And just slowly but surely seeping Bitcoin into the conversation of these other influential spheres, I think is part of the strategy here at TFTC, is trying to do more of that.
Absolutely. I think absolutely. And that's part of why and that's part of those people, someone who's already influential is not motivated by, hey, you can get more rich. Like, they already are rich. Like, they already are influential. They're not motivated by the government sucks and is printing fiat money and is like hurting all of us. Maybe they are. But the leap from like, they're just that we have to be credible in our message of Bitcoin fixes this. And I just don't, and people, it takes time. Like, it just takes so much time. I think we underestimate, like, I think I underestimated how, like, influential the current landscape is. And I think even back in the day when I was just yelling and excited, and I'm still yelling and excited, but I think I was like, I was just very, I didn't, that felt very like complacent to say that. And so even today when I'm saying like, oh, like we need to become more influential and more wealthy and make it more obvious, I'm, listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying like, oh, because this is going to take another 10, 15, 20 years. Like I'm not saying that part. And I think that's part of why this message comes across as boring sometimes, but I'm actually not saying that. Like, I'm actually saying that you actually need way less Bitcoin than you think you do to become influential. Like, and that's what I'm trying to tell people is like right now, today, dude, if you've been listening to Marty Bent for 6, 7, 8 years, your savings is well above the median savings for your age in this country. Like, that's the other thing I was going to say. I was going to actually, not to like cut anyone out, but I just want to continue to niche down on this. Like, I really hyper think about like 25 to 55 year old, like guys, like living in the United States. That's who I think about. Like people, and those people that have W-2 jobs, 25 to 55 in the United States, like philosophically orange pilled, and now really dealing with the reality of like, dude, like I have a lot of options here. Like I have a lot of options here compared to my demographic. And I really want like those people who I identify with being one of those people that like your family like has to become stronger, like for 1 million Bitcoin to happen. Like you have to become a better business person for $1 million Bitcoin to happen. Like you have to understand the way that local politics like works in your town for $1 million Bitcoin to happen. Like actually, because that's what all of the influential people all have in common. And if you have that all dialed in more than them, it is like a chess match. Like we used to pride ourselves on like having the best game theory a lot. But I think we kind of like softened on that a little bit and just kind of like, oh, it'll work out.
Our good friends, Parker Lewis and Dhruv Bansal, are two of the deepest thinkers in Bitcoin. While they come from very different backgrounds, they've landed on the exact same conclusion. It's Bitcoin that matters, not crypto. This masterclass lays out why 21 million is the key breakthrough, how Bitcoin, not blockchain, creates decentralization, and why everything else will be built on Bitcoin. Understand why Bitcoin works and why nothing else does. Watch the premiere at unchained.com/TFTC. That's unchained.com/TFTC. So let's dive into some specifics here, like at the micro level, individual in that demographic, 25 to 55 year old male with a savings that if they've been listening and stacking for 8 years should be well above the national median or the national average as well, I would imagine. What should they be doing? Like, what are some steps? Let's get some different archetypes out there. Let's say we have a finance bro, we have a tech bro, we have a blue collar worker.
Yeah, let's do it. So here's the first thing I think you should do. And I love this exercise. Think about your finances in terms of like long-term, medium-term, short-term. Long-term is like the classic retirement, like whatever that means for you, the way future, okay? Medium-term is like, right now it's April, say Christmas. Like my property taxes are due in December and all the Christmas gifts are due in December, okay? So that's medium-term. Short-term is like this month's bills, okay? If you're that person, you've crushed long-term savings, okay? You crushed it. You listened to all the podcasts. You did all the advice. You did it. Long-term savings is done. Like stick a fork in it. You did it. You already accomplished that. The next two buckets I would really challenge you to think about are medium-term and short-term, okay? Short-term is like you go on Twitter, you go on X, or go on Marty's other episode. Like you go listen to the like Get on zero, guys. Okay. Short. If you want to take short term all the way to the extreme and really step up your ability to incorporate Bitcoin into your personal finances and really understand the why behind the math and all that stuff, there's that. But purposely, let's just set that over there for a second, because there's people that are passionate about that is what it is. If this is your first time like hearing a lot of this and you've been like feeling this of like trying to find the next thing, trying to find the next Bitcoin personal finance thing, I really want to talk about this medium term. Because the number one way to kind of challenge in your own life the extreme frugality and the extreme like never selling is, I believe, in this medium term bucket. So up to this point, get paid in Bitcoin was kind of just a more convenient way to DCA. But because of Fold, and we're going to get in the tactics of like tools, because of Fold and the incorporation of the account and routing number and this concept of Bitcoin personal finance and really blurring the line between Bitcoin and dollars, using them both together, challenging the extreme frugality, challenging the never selling, I really think there's this medium term savings bucket for this December's Christmas gifts, for this December's property taxes, for the, you know, partial emergency fund of the whatever. Really recognizing that like different buckets of Bitcoin, and this is what's funny, this goes all the way back to the first episode we recorded, but it's much more real now. Like different buckets for different things. Different buckets for different things. And stop thinking about Bitcoin as only this long term, I'll use it when I'm rich someday, I'll be rich someday, pass down to my kids, like all this stuff, right? Because all of that is fine and good. But just having this medium term bucket. So that's what I would do. I would have this thing of, what percent of your personal finances long term are in Bitcoin? Most likely 100%, very, very close to 100%. What percent of your personal finances for the short term this month are in Bitcoin? For the classic person out there, probably not a lot, probably zero, okay? So in the medium-term bucket, what percent are in there? Are you saving for a house down payment? Are you saving for that in Bitcoin or in dollars? That's when it starts to get like really interesting and really realizing that you can have a medium-term savings bucket with the purpose of getting paid in Bitcoin, pushing it into that bucket with the intent purpose to pull it back out to accomplish that like life goal is what I would say for that medium bucket. And I have one thing about the short-term bucket too, but what do you think?
I like that. For me personally too, I think that's one thing I struggle with. My wife says it's because I'm a Gemini. She believes in that stuff, but I'm like very, very sort of spur of the moment type of guy. Long-term thinking, like I do have my long-term Bitcoin savings, obviously, but when it comes to planning in the short to medium term, that's something that hand up I struggle with. And so like having a framework from which to operate within and think about that and apply some actionable steps towards that is important for me.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about family. I want to talk about family and doing finances like together. On the short-term bucket, okay, so that's an exercise people can use in the medium-term bucket. An exercise you can do in the short-term bucket that will, I think, expand your brain, and I've done this, is just take one bill. Like, just take one bill. Because at the heart of Get on Zero is just this concept that the same math that statistically like Bitcoin is like increasing in purchasing power, you can dial that math all the way back to actually like a daily holding rate of Bitcoin. And like the daily holding rate of Bitcoin, like the EV, like holding Bitcoin on any day is positive EV. Even accounting for short-term capital gains, holding Bitcoin on any single day is EV, expected value, positive expected value. So do that for one bill. Do that for one bill. Just take your phone bill or your water bill. Push that amount into the account and shoot over a little bit. Like shoot over a little bit. Put it in the account and then pay the bill with it. Like get paid in Bitcoin, push it back to dollars, pay the bill with it. Get paid in Bitcoin, push it to dollars, pay the bill with it. And what you'll find is that when you're paid on a 2-week cycle and when your bill goes out on a 30-day cycle, you're floating up and down on the exchange rate. So even if you catch a bad step, like the steps will even themselves out. And when you're paid every 2 weeks, but the bills go out on every 30 days, you're just floating up and down. And this is the other thing of when you add on the whole part of the reason why like credit card, like people like in this bucket love the whole credit card so much is because that extends the life cycle even more. Like when you, so you get paid in Bitcoin every 2 weeks, every 2 weeks, every 2 weeks, your cell phone bill comes, you put it on a credit card, and then 30 days later it's due. So now you're paying your cell phone bill net 60 while you're getting paid in Bitcoin every 2 weeks and holding Bitcoin on any day is a good bet, a good bet, a good bet. That's all get on, like that's all get on zero is. And that's what changed my, like that math, as soon as it was like, that's why these conversations are so powerful. Like when those guys were like, hey, like, no, the math like makes sense. That set off a whole new thing in my brain of like, that's why coming in here today, I'm not the like, oh, it's going to take 10, 15, 20 years for the whole like $1 million Bitcoin or whatever to happen. Like, no, like the math and the tools as it is today, you can live on Bitcoin. You don't have to live in El Salvador. You don't have to be an influencer. Like you, like 25 to 55 year old guy with the family in the suburbs. Like I'm calling you from the suburbs. I like you today can live on Bitcoin. That like that realization that you can do that is really powerful.
Yeah, it's funny for me personally. The get on zero sort of journey has been actualized in the business before my personal life, which is, oh, I'm like as close to zero as you can get personally, but still like I like to keep a nice cash balance in the bank account just to make sure my wife's comfortable, to make sure just, but yeah. I have had more instances where it's like, all right, there's no cash in the bank. Now it's time to sell some Bitcoin, move it over to the bank. But with the business specifically, just the nature, Bitcoin focused business, employees prefer to get paid in Bitcoin. So I think every employee here gets a portion of their paycheck in Bitcoin. Rent here, Bitcoin Park Austin, Bitcoin Park accepts Bitcoin for rent. So that's a bill I can pay in Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. So like at the business, like it's been easier just because our external touch points in terms of employees and contractors, I guess, or landlord specifically, are accepting Bitcoin. It's like, oh, it just makes sense. Like when we get paid in fiat from advertising, alternatively, there's some advertisers that pay in Bitcoin as well. And so it's just been easy for us, and it has been positive EV for the business, is keeping that working capital in Bitcoin over the course of years.
Yeah, no, dude. And I think I want everyone to hear this like really loud and clear, like everyone can do it differently. Everyone can do it differently. And this isn't a new, I don't want to restart the like, who's the bigger like Bitcoiner thing. Cause like, we already did all that. And those years were good and fine and whatever, but like it's not. Like I want the amount of Bitcoin business content, exactly what you said, has to 10X. Like again, in order to be this reality that we want, that conversation has to 10X. Has to 100x at the personal level. It has to 10x. It has to 100x. People have to like be in real time. In real time, we're writing the Bitcoin personal finance advice because it didn't exist from the traditional personal finance space. It didn't exist from the financial independent retire early crowd, but it also didn't fully exist from the OG like Bitcoiners either. Like they're great at talking about Bitcoin. They weren't the greatest at talking about like personal finance. And so no, like I think there's a groundswell that's ready for it. And that's what's exciting.
Yeah. And I think the tools are way better than they've ever been and make it as easy as possible.
Absolutely. So bouncing off of Bitcoin.
Let's dive into Fold and like the tool set you have. But me personally, on the personal side of my balance sheet, not the business balance sheet, personal balance sheet. Like I like to keep as much Bitcoin as possible in liquid working capital for my family balance sheet.
Yeah.
and tools like Fold and Strike, being able, and Cash App, those three specifically come to mind, being able to move Bitcoin on the exchange, sell it, and then wire to my fiat bank account immediately. I'm willing to pay the fee, but just having that ability is a massive unlock for being able to live on a Bitcoin standard.
Yep. No, absolutely. And that's what, so I was going to bounce off Bitcoin Park Austin and talk about your other, so cool tool, like this is another cool tool and thing I want to talk about today was that, so CrowdHealth is an insurance, like an insurance option, crowdfunding instead of insurance.
Crowdfunding right? instead of insurance.
Crowdfunding instead of insurance. Yeah.
Andy will yell at us if we call it insurance.
No, perfect. Crowdfunding instead of insurance. And that's really powerful. Like they're doing a great job speaking about like changing the world. Like them as a company is changing bureaucracy, changing a lot of entrenched like things that the world has been doing, making it more efficient. And what's exciting about that is that the CrowdHealth app, they have a Fold savings plan. So your surplus crowdfund contributions can auto sweep to Bitcoin into Fold app every single month. And that's an example of like, we're kind of in real time building like a one-to-one, almost like health savings account replacement. So the Bitcoin economy has like one by one taken all of the like types of accounts that the old world had and just kicked out the fiat and like made a Bitcoin, And so that's just when your comment about the tools being better than they were is exactly right. Like the groundswell of people looking for this stuff and feeling internally that they're ready for this stuff and the tools have all like, it's, that's why it's really exciting. Like this year, 2025 is exciting.
And what would your response be to somebody who's like, has that feeling, but they're still like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I could do it. It seems like too much of a leap for me.
Yeah. I want to talk about the family thing and how that like our partners, our families is sometimes like a blocker that we have a little bit. I'm trying to think one more second about like at an individual level. At an individual level, I would just really like we talked about before kind of like, so I've been journaling, like I journal with like ChatGPT a lot. Like I've just really been doing a lot of, inner work of just like why, like what can I do to like level up as a person and level up my kind of just emotional processing capacity and really do that. And so sitting with yourself and asking yourself deeper questions just has a giant ROI. It just does. Like turning off the podcast, graying out your phone. Like this is random, but like, if you triple click the side button of your iPhone, it'll grayscale the iPhone. The notifications will like hit your face less. They'll like hit your face less and it'll let your brain like relax. It'll let your brain relax more. I've just been nerding out on like so much of that stuff. I'm just like, so if you're feeling like, I'm feeling it a little bit, but just like, I don't know. Like it feels risky. I would say like, try it with one small bucket. I would say for even, and look, a lot of people, we've already done this, but maybe there's new people. Again, there's buy one thing with Bitcoin. Just buy one thing with Bitcoin. Sell $10 of Bitcoin. Like just rip the band-aid off and figure out like, how do you actually feel? Cause I was going to give this example more in terms of like for people that have partners, but like, look, you can buy gift cards with Lightning, like on Fold. Like honestly, like buy a DoorDash gift card and just like get some food and like think about Bitcoin. I know that kind of just sounds so cheesy, but that honestly actually could be like the biggest unlock for your brain is like, watching Bitcoin flow out and something flow back into your life.
And what does the data look like in terms of doing that on a consistent basis to your sex? So you get paid right to Bitcoin,
yeah,
put a bunch of stuff on your credit card, but also instead of selling that Bitcoin, move it to your bank account, ordering DoorDash, having it come from straight from your account, yeah, instead, take out or just go through another path, which is buy a DoorDash, yeah, gift card over Lightning, yep, get some sats back,
yep,
and then upload that gift card and make the purchase that way.
Yeah. There's lots of different paths. You talked a little bit about the, like, getting paid in Bitcoin part and then paying from your full balance. Like, there's definitely that path. I was just specifically talking for someone who has just never, if you've just never bought anything with Bitcoin, like if your town doesn't have the bar that takes Bitcoin, if you've still never bought the random sticker from any one place, if you've never, you know, but had, like, go to BTC Pins, go to TFTC and, like, buy a sticker. Like, if you've never done that yet, just do that with Lightning. It's definitely, like, one way to, like, watch the Bitcoin flow out and receive it back. And that will begin to get the wheels turning for you of just, like, how can I incorporate Bitcoin deeper into your personal finances? Let's talk about, so that's for the individual. Let's talk about I want to talk about the partner and for, like, guys that are married and just, like, how to think about the different tools and what are maybe, like, other blockers in that regard that ways to tackle Bitcoin personal finance as a couple.
I'll start.
Perfect.
Bank account on zero happens a lot in our family. It's scary having conversations. Yeah. I think for me personally, the sitting down with my wife and saying Bitcoin is not only our saving long-term savings vehicle, but I'd like to keep our family working capital in that as well. Cause I think it's going to help us stack more Bitcoin and keep more Bitcoin over time. I think for us, at least between the two of us, it's getting my wife comfortable with the bank account's going to be on zero sometimes, but don't worry. I'll show you. I can move Bitcoin, sell it, and have money in the bank account in less than 2 minutes if we ever need it. I think it's like having that conversation for me personally.
Yeah. No, dude, I think that's, so I would put that as, that's really awesome. I the fact that you guys have that relationship is awesome. And I think that's really cool. I think let's tackle a couple up from that. And it's like, okay. So say you're listening to that and you're like, man, like, that's so awesome. I wish that I had that relationship. Okay. So say someone's listening to that. What did you just do right there? What you just did was you're like, hey, I'm okay selling. You're like, that's literally what you're saying. You're saying, like, I'm okay selling. Again, putting it in simple language, like, just for that part, like, you're like, I'm okay selling. So you're punching extreme frugality in the face. You're punching never selling in the face. You're just being like, I'm okay selling. I think the baby step for that is honestly, like, you're having your partner know that, like, you are okay selling. Like, having your partner know that there are household financial goals and, like, our relationship together is above selling is, like, a really powerful thing to have and to demonstrate. Again, peeling it back to even easier and easier baby steps, how about just simply our relationship and our financial goals together are even, like, above DCAing. Like, maybe you are still building your stack and you are still building your, and all of us to some capacity, again, are still keeping the Bitcoin balance flat, trying to slightly increase it, or again, just only trying to slightly decrease it. Like, it's all still in that. Like, it's not selling the farm and all of it to like massively do something. But say you're in the thing of $500 a month is the DCA budget, but it's constantly kind of like maybe like a better DCA budget is more in the $250 range. And the other $250 is for like more date nights or like for marriage counseling or for like taking a vacation, like whatever that version of that, ordering more takeout, like whatever that version of that is for you, that tension is going to be there at some point where it's like, we're trying to accomplish XYZ in the relationship. We're also trying to like grow the Bitcoin balance. And it's either just having them know that it's okay, like you have input and it's okay for us to edit the DCA in this way. You have input and it's okay for us to hold $0 because we can move Bitcoin over there. Is big. And I think that's then kind of just because on a roll, like that's then where a lot of people give me, some people give me a hard time about the merchant offers at Fold where it's like, hey, like I don't want to do all that. Like just sounds like a lot of hoops, sounds like whatever. And look, I totally get that. I get that. And that's where I would just reframe this entire thing. This is why I wanted to talk to you about the mindset of like Bitcoin personal finance first. Like if that's your mentality of like, oh, I have this great DCA every month. I don't want to do the like, I don't need the merchant offer. Like it is what it is. If that's you, like just mentally reframe the entire thing. Is your DCA at a good level, like for your guys' relationship, or can you edit it a little bit? And then what would your partner think about the merchant offers at Fold? Is it like a sick Friday night would be, let's spend $100 on a Total Wine gift card and just go to Total Wine and buy $100 of like random stuff. Like there's a very real chance that you and your partner like doing that together and like getting the Bitcoin rewards through Fold. What, like there's a very real chance that the ROI of that is higher than buying $100 of Bitcoin.
I'm trying to think through this right now too. Yeah. Buy a Total Wine. You guys go. You have a nice trip to the Total Wine store. They have a nice bottle in from Bordeaux this month. It's on sale. You buy it, you go enjoy it. You got sats back. And then use that as like a future learning experience. Like, hey honey, remember when we went to Total Wines? Look how much Bitcoin we made from buying that merchant gift card instead of going and just buying it with cash right then.
Exactly. No, exactly. And that then literally is then you're leaking Bitcoin into your personal finance experience. And then you're talking about, oh, why are Bitcoin rewards better than fiat rewards? Because when we look back at that 4 years from now, that wine bottle is going to be XYZ cheaper. Like that then sparks an interesting like conversation. Yeah.
And how close or far to the critical mass tipping point of that unlock, particularly with Bitcoin rewards, do you think we are?
Yeah. I think the people that are really into it are fully into it. Like the habit takes over your life, and it's not a hassle. Like it's just in your life. Like my wife and I we source things for the house on Fold. Like it just Our Instacart, like all of our grocery, like all everything comes from Instacart, like from Costco. And we're just running it like all through there, like creating a monthly habit of it. And that's what I would tell people is that I think the tipping point in your own life can come really fast to where it's just a habit. Like it's a habit thinking in terms of Bitcoin rewards for everything your house consumes instead of fiat rewards. And I do think kind of back to the whole thing of like, oh, the tools these days are all better than they were. Like the fact that Fold, the Bitcoin checking account element and the ability to buy Bitcoin and hold Bitcoin in dollars side by side, use it all in a personal finance way, that made me fall back in love with rewards. Because all we used to have back in the day was only rewards. And Fold, like that's why Fold is so well known, like as like the leading Bitcoin rewards like app. Now it's like the leading like personal finance, like the companies you mentioned are great and all the companies are great and it's all positive. The total package of, again, trying to be like the platform for Bitcoin personal finance where you and your partner, like you can add your partner as a joint user, like on the card, you can direct deposit paychecks, like having it be this like place, home base for your Bitcoin and dollars is all, yeah, it's all right there. Like the tipping point is today. Like it's already here. It's already here today.
That gets a good point too. Like developing that habit. How long does it take? And I think let's use the Amazon example instead of Total Wines or Instacart. I think Amazon is a low hanging fruit that, you know, you have recurring purchases on Amazon every month. Like, set a reminder internally, maybe set like a running calendar invite or calendar event first of every month, like go in a fold, buy $500 Amazon gift card, load it up if it's available.
Exactly. And the habit becomes even easier for everyone. Everyone has different purchasing habits, right? Some people like loading dollars from their paycheck onto fold. Some people just prefer using their credit card. You can buy the merchant offers. You can buy the gift cards on your credit card, any card. So that, and I like telling people that, of like, it's not this hard pitch to your partner. It's simply, hey, your credit card is already in Amazon. All we're saying is put the credit card inside fold, get the gift card, load the gift card over there, and then shop on Amazon how you normally would. So it's just one change. Even from your personal finances, all the purchasing is still going on that same daily driver credit card your family already uses. And that's one time more that, like, they're thinking about Bitcoin that month. And I think that's a big thing of, like, talking about mindset. Like, everyone listening to the show thinks about Bitcoin all day, every single day. I think there is still a little bit of tension out there between Bitcoin as kind of just this, it can in some relationships just be this kind of like side hobby. Like, it's a personal finance thing, it's a side hobby thing, it's a like community thing of that. But the rest of the family isn't, the rest of the people involved in your personal finances aren't like dialed in on a day-to-day level as much as you are. And so that touch point, talk about habit forming, like that touch point is huge. Getting them one more organic touch point with Bitcoin per month. I think the ROI of that is, I don't think there's anything higher. I literally don't think there's anything higher. Like, I think the fact that, like, my wife Sharon and I have been doing Bitcoin together, I'm very thankful that we've been doing Bitcoin together like the entire time. I don't think it would be half of where we are if it wasn't a joint thing.
Was she apprehensive at first? Was there a moment in time in the last 5-6 years where it clicked for her and she was like, oh, we don't have to have the conversation anymore. I get it.
Yeah. This is not me just like making this up. Like, it really was actually like a full thing back then, like being able to be like, oh, it's a, like, showing that we could bring things back into the house, like with Bitcoin, was like, oh, our savings rate can go up because I demonstrated that if we needed to, we could bring goods and services back into the home, like with it. Helps. And that's what I mean. Like, I'm not saying this from like a, like, this happened in my life. Like, showing that you can bring things back into the house with Bitcoin can increase your overall savings rate.
And it's like the whole merchant adoption meme. It's like, you can't buy coffee with Bitcoin. I think this is a great example. Like, well, actually you can. And not only, I mean, Amazon's not accepting Bitcoin, but the tools exist to effectively buy what you need with Bitcoin.
Dude, I want to hit off that. So I think a lot of us back in the day didn't accept that answer because we were really hung up on capital gains taxes. And we were really under the impression, I'm speaking for myself here, but like, I was really under the impression that, like, oh, like, the government funds itself with taxes. I don't want to like participate with that or like help them because like, fix money, fix the world. Like, Bitcoin is like better than fiat money. Like, Bitcoin is better than central banking. We have to like hodl and outlast all of that so that we become big enough in order to do that. When you sell back to dollars, even if you're using it for your own life, you're like hurting the price. Like, I really believe these things. Like, I believe these things and I believe these sentences, and that affected the way I thought about Bitcoin personal finance. And that's just like, I'm here to say, like, that's not true. Like, that's not true. And that's not as, it's actually, the logic is actually the other way around. Like, believing that cost me Bitcoin. Like, believing that continued to have, it caused me to like have a foot in both worlds. And if I had got, like, without that mentality, like, I think I would have arrived at closer to 100% faster, which means that I would have net more Bitcoin than I do today. My Bitcoin net worth would be higher than I do, like, do today. And so, like, and this is back to then kind of back to the influence thing. Like, the number one, like, if you want to help Bitcoin, like, if you want to help Bitcoin, and that's part of why you're like HODL only, never sell or whatever, that's part of your motivation. The number one way you could help Bitcoin is to become a more influential person. Like, it's not, dude, we're past that. Like, Bitcoin is being talked about at the highest level of the world, man. Like, the number one thing you can do to help Bitcoin is, like, level up and become a bigger container. That your $500 a month, $1,000 a month, $100,000 a month is huge for your own life, but it's not huge for, like, Bitcoin macro, like, trajectory. The most giant thing you can do is, like, change as a person, level up your influence.
Well, that, like, I can hear any outsider listening to this, like, these people are crazy, get on zero, they're living on Bitcoin. But to your point, like, the more that are doing this, showing the world, hey, I'm doing this, it's working, I'm increasing my quality of life, increasing my stack, at the same time, become motivated to be more productive and increase my cash flow, like, this mindset has reoriented my financial life in extremely positive way. And you just go out there with that confidence, like, I don't think it's going to zero. And if I don't think it's going to zero, I'm going to get on zero to reap the most benefit that I potentially can, because I recognize this.
Yes. And I would say, like I operate my life as if Bitcoin is going to $1 million. Like, I operate my life as if Bitcoin's going to $1 million. And sometimes I catch myself thinking too small. If Bitcoin's going to $1 million, my capacity to take risks right now is bigger than I think it is. It's bigger than my brain tells me that it is. And that gap is what I mean by, like, leveling up. So whether it is, yes, holding more Bitcoin, and for a lot of people, the number one way to take on more risk would be to hold more Bitcoin, which is the reason why I talk about the medium savings bucket, the short-term savings bucket. For other people, the way to take on more risks would be to pause your DCA for 6 months and DCA into, like, building your marriage, buying a business, buying a house, taking 6 months off of work to, like, learn AI and, like, get a different job that pays more. Like, dude, we're at that point now, man. We're at the point of, like, this, and this is where we're at that point of needing some of the more rounded out people stuff than just simply buy more Bitcoin, buy more Bitcoin, buy more Bitcoin. Because there are other things that the ROI will be higher.
That's controversial.
It is. It is, man. It is.
No, I mean, I think your point, what you're really saying is, like, the ROI of investing in yourself and taking the time to develop the necessary skills, mindset, probably first mindset, then skills, to get yourself on better financial footing is going to have an increased ROI on the back end, which will likely manifest in more Bitcoin as well.
Yes. I just like that you said manifest. I think there's a world in the future where you, like, the audience member has the ability to have more Bitcoin than they do right now, and than their linear DCA trajectory has them on. I just do. I don't think that linear DCA is the path for everyone. And so whether it's in the short, and there's a very real chance that then again, yeah, in the short term, there's a very real chance that in the short term, your fiat reserves are too, this is Brian Harrington, like, there's a very real chance that in the short term, your fiat reserves are too high relative to the amount of Bitcoin savings you have. So your ability to lump sum more into Bitcoin is higher. I just want people to hear that. So I'm not always about, and then there's also a very real chance that your Bitcoin savings are so high that your income that you're earning right now, if you, I'm going to go complete heresy. Okay. If there's a very real chance that your Bitcoin savings are so high that if you took your salary for 1 year and bought cash flowing real estate instead and replaced your salary, that then you would be fired on Bitcoin and real estate combined, and you would be off to the races on like being the mayor of your town. Like, there's no, but like if you just sit around twiddling your thumbs DCAing on your like salary, like for what? Like, you, dude, you did it. You already won. Like, you won the game. Like, it's time to take the victory lap.
Yeah. It's a mindset. It really is. And once you change the mindset, like I've seen in my own life, because even when I started this podcast, it was when I did start, like, this doesn't go back to like, I've said this story many times on the show, but I was unemployed for like 18 months between 2016 and the middle of 2017. I took a couple of like 3 month contract gigs in between them, but for the most part I was unemployed and had to, and it was almost subconscious like recognition that the cube life's not for me, doing VLOOKUPs in Excel is not for me. I was trying to get jobs throughout it, but deep down inside, I was like, Bitcoin is what I wanted to do. And in between half-ass attempts to get jobs at quote unquote, like tech firms or finance firms that I knew deep down I didn't want to do, I was studying Bitcoin and eventually got the confidence to write about Bitcoin. And throughout that period, terrible time to be selling Bitcoin, but I did have Bitcoin savings that was allowing me, at least giving me some peace of mind and some stability to not go completely crazy because I didn't have any money. I had that savings. I was able to tap into it. And yeah. I think the long-term ramifications of having that sort of savings to dip into and to use to sustain myself while I was figuring this out in my mid-20s, like, has led to me. It was extremely high ROI for me personally.
Yes. Dude, and my favorite part about that story is the amount needed to feel secure at that time is low, relatively. Like, relatively. And the timing, again, was relatively bad to be selling, bad to be thinking about it. And that's, like, what... I watch a lot of YouTube. Like, I watch a lot of YouTube, and it's like that's what the real estate people always say. They're like, oh, every single time, it's like, oh, it was a bad time, it was a bad time, it was a bad time. And then 8 years later, 6 years later, 5 years later, like, it works out. And I want to hear that optimism. Yeah, more from Bitcoiners. And I want people to understand that, like, it's always going to feel, here's another thing actually we haven't talked about yet. Like, you're never going to like feel ready to have kids. You're not going to feel ready to buy a house. You're not going to feel ready to quit your job and start a business. That's not real. Feeling ready is not real. So there's no like, tackle that right now, or move that. You're going to have to tackle that. Move that forward as fast as you can, because $1 million Bitcoin isn't gonna make it easier to tackle that. It's gonna be the same, if not harder. Honestly, if not harder. Like, so you have to pull that forward and tackle it.
All right, the children, especially, there's a big psyop out there. Like, I can't have kids because I'm not financially secure enough, which may be true. It may not be as financially secure as you want to be, but I promise you, at least this was my personal reaction. Maybe everybody doesn't have the same one, but I've never been more motivated to be productive and increase my cash flow than I was after my first son was born. Like night and day difference from literally the day before to the day of his birth. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, I need to make sure this kid can eat and survive.
Yeah.
Personally, I feel like everybody has that motivation. It's whether or not they have the capacity and the agency and the willingness to go act on that inherent urgency that you feel.
Yeah. No, definitely. And I feel that a lot too. And I feel it from a place of like, I think, and also then for the number one thing, I tweeted this, talk about controversy. Like I'm way more motivated by proving to my sons that I know how to spend Bitcoin and put a dent in the world than I am on handing them like a stack with no social proof that like I was effective at like changing the world. And I think, and I just think that's like, it's really hard for me to identify with the like, kid, like, oh, like their generation is the most important thing to me. Like passing that on is like, no, like, you're like right now is the most important thing to me. Like proving that like I did something, showing them that you did something, I think is way more powerful than handing them the actual Bitcoin.
Yeah. And you need to do the things if the Bitcoin is going to be worth anything when you hand it to them, I think.
I agree with that. Dude, I agree with that. Like, I think we have to do something. I think because it's a competition. Like our bucket, the Bitcoin economy has to be more dynamic than the fiat economy. Like we talk about the financialization and the macroeconomic and all this stuff, the zombie companies, like all this, we talk about all that stuff. Like our economy, our productivity, what we have going on has to be more dynamic. And it is a competition. It's like the world, dude, the world is like a game of Monopoly, like, and Bitcoiners have to own like things and own companies and own property, like in order to secure the influence. Like the money matters. And we're playing with pocket aces. We're absolutely playing with pocket aces. And now we have to like win the game.
Yeah. Bitcoin is your path to financial freedom. Own it.
It is. Yeah. Prove it to everyone and tell everyone.
Yeah, that was really powerful. Show it. Because we had that call, on a Friday afternoon 2 weeks ago. And it's never like, I've been in this content, Bitcoin content creator, podcaster. Shout out to the Bugle. Shout out to PodConf for 8 years now. But like, just the way you put it on that call, and you like ended the call with it. It's like, we need Bitcoiners to be like, Bitcoin is your path to financial freedom. But many, myself included, have said that even that explicitly, but I think the approach that the like personal finance gurus have, the real estate gurus have with this is how you're going to get rich and just like own it and really send that mimetic signaling to people to really trigger that action to like, okay, maybe I should take this more seriously is important.
And more powerful than having a large stack of Bitcoin is knowing that you could stack it all again if you had to. Like, if you believe that about yourself, like, do you believe that about yourself that you could stack it all again if you had to? Or are your dumb friends actually right that you just got lucky? Like,
right.
You know, it's like that. Like, we can't be like, oh, they're dumb, I wasn't lucky, and be like scared of leveling up our lives at the same time. I think that's why that hurts so much. I think that's why that when they say that hurts so much, because it actually, like, we actually kind of believe that about ourselves a little bit also.
It's a tacit recognition. That. Like, maybe I did get lucky.
Yes.
Maybe.
Dude, yeah, maybe I did get lucky. Wow. Maybe I did get lucky. Damn, I hope Bitcoin hits $1 million so that I can like feel good about myself someday.
Yeah.
Dude, it gets deep. It gets deep. And if you have a large Bitcoin savings, you have to tackle that deepness. Like, you have to tackle that deepness, and you have to become the guy that can look people in the other face and be like, no, like, I'm telling you, dude, like Bitcoin is better than fiat money. It's like changed my life. And it's like, and I'm going to go change the world. Like I'm going to change the world off of like having this much money.
Be the change you want to see in the world, freaks. You can do it. And again, I think, I don't think we're trying to beat our chest here, but I think we're just trying to articulate from personal experience. I mean, it really does. Like that I've told people that before. Like if I've lost it all, I think I could stack it again. And they think you're crazy. And it's like, no, like I have that confidence that I can go out there.
Absolutely.
And do it. Because I know how important it is to do it. Like, God forbid something were to happen. Need to sell all my Bitcoin. Don't think that's going to be the case. But like, I think having that belief that you could go stack again and operating your life in a way that makes the potential to stack again, the probability that you could higher is very important.
Dude, yeah, 100%. Bitcoin, like on a Bitcoin standard, in a world where there's a Bitcoin standard, the rising tide lifts all boats. Like the world is so good. There's going to be so much opportunity for everyone all the time because we're not going to be siphoned off. This is where all the doomsday stuff like is all like, yeah, it does suck that there's so much inefficiency in the world and all this stuff. And they're like stealing from us and fiat money and blah, blah, blah. All that's true. So when we kill all of that, the world is going to be so much better and so much bigger that Marty Bent would be able to stack it all again. Because the business environment in that world, the net richness of society, like we will be living on Mars. We will have autonomous robots doing everything for us. So all we have to do all day is enjoy our lives and like make money and make the world a better place. Like that's okay. So that's future, right? Future. And we love talking about the future. Love talking about the future. Pull all of that forward. Okay. Pull all of that forward. Maybe the number one thing you can do for your partner is hire a cleaner to come to your house twice a week, once every other week. Maybe that's the number one thing you could do. Maybe there, and that's where there's a higher ROI on having a house cleaner than on continuing on your linear DCA. And that's going to create a household where your partner trusts you so much that you're going to go out and start a business and end up with more Bitcoin than you would have just DCAing and being scared of spending money on a house cleaner.
Small steps, freaks. Take them. And the opportunity with AI, like I'm looking at this convergence of AI and Bitcoin and just AI generally, what it's done for our business at TFTC. And I've just been playing with the models and having similar conversations that you are and just different projects and diving down rabbit holes. There's so much that is unlocked in terms of like the ability to go out and build things had never been easier.
Absolutely.
Brian, we can't have like 4 years between this recording and the next one.
No.
We'll be at $1 million Bitcoin by then.
Correct. No, dude. Let's hold ourselves accountable. Let's hold ourselves accountable and keep meeting up and fix the money, fix the world.
Yeah. I don't want to say you get a lot of hate, but a lot of people push back like, he's talking crazy. But I would urge anybody who's listening to this, seriously consider it. Like I think changing the mindset is very important and very powerful.
Yeah.
Once you do it effectively.
Yeah. Yeah. Come to my YouTube comment on today's video on like how you're doing it. Like, cause it's not tell me like people's strategies and stuff. How are you using Fold? How are you incorporating Bitcoin into personal finances? How are you thinking about leveling up like in other areas? I want to know. Cause there are a lot of people, the streams of messages are beginning to increase.
Yeah. Let us know. And gender, like seriously, if you do that, you comment, respond on X, whatever, like people see that. Mm-hmm. It gives them confidence and you start the momentum in the right direction. I think the momentum's headed in the right direction. It's never been easier to live on a Bitcoin standard, to incorporate Bitcoin into your life, to take a step back and think about this strategically, leverage the tools that exist and operate during this transitionary period. Smartly. I can't think of a meticulously smartly with intention, if you will. I think that's the best way to put it.
100%.
All right. Anything else we should leave the freaks with here?
That's it, guys. Yeah, just like and comment, share the video. Yeah, hit us up, message me.
We're gonna win. Peace and love, freaks. Okay. Freaks, thank you for listening to the show. I hope you liked it. If you did like it, please make sure you subscribe, rate, review the show. It helps us out a lot. And also, if you like these conversations, I've come to realize that many people listen to the podcast. They don't know we have another sort of layer of this media company. We have the newsletter, the Bitcoin Brief. Go to tftc.io. Make sure you subscribe there. A lot of the topics that are discussed on this podcast, I write about 5 days a week in the newsletter. We also have the TFTC Elite tier. If you sign up for that, become a member. We have a private Discord server for the elite freaks out there where we're dropping ad-free versions of this show and having discussions about everything we talk about. A day early. Logan wanted me to make sure if you want to get the show a day early, become a TFTC Elite member, you will get that. We have our Discord server. Right now it's conversation between myself and TFTC Elite tier members, but we're going to expand that. We'll probably do closed Q&As with people in the industry. I may be doing Macro Mondays. So join us. Go to tftc.io. Subscribe. Find the button in the top right corner of the website. Become a TFTC Elite member. Thank you for joining us. Okay.